right? They've been recorded. Despite that, I want you to keep pressing on. So I see three different positions tonight. In verses 14 and 15, I see the responsible position. Responsible because heaven is our goal. The kingdom, guys, it's alive. He's saying, how are you looking at this? Are you looking at this like it's just a vehicle to get you to heaven? Woo, I got my ticket. I'm going to enjoy this train ride. Are you looking at it like, man, this is a journey, and I'm on the journey. I'm still responsible not just to hop on the train, but to live and breathe and share the good news. So this is a very responsible view. How do we stay, he says in verse 15, just he says, also wrote with you in wisdom, with the wisdom that God gave. And he's talking about to stay in our place of peace. How do we stay in peace? I'm sorry? Cry out to the Lord. Anybody give me a scripture on peace? How about Isaiah 26:3 that says, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. How about 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That's going to keep you in peace, right? So when we want to walk in peace with him, I can go to the Word. And the Word can encourage me that there's going to be hope for me. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says that he's going to perfect that perfect peace. That word means mature. When you were little and somebody came up behind you and they scared you, you know, you'd be like, oh. But as you matured, you just go, oh, okay. And you just move on with it. That's what to perfect, that perfect means is to mature. So we just need to realize that God's waiting. He's not just waiting for us to get it. But while I'm being responsible with his word, he's wanting other people to give it. He wants us to understand and give that knowledge to other people. Here's the thing. If I'm looking at earth, Peter's saying, don't look around at the things around you. If I'm looking at earth and all the trouble there is here, where am I concentrating? On me. What? How does this affect me? How does this look? But he's saying, looking forward to the kingdom, where's that going to keep me focused? On him. And he is going to be the one who's going to keep me in perfect peace. Have any of you ever been able to talk yourself into peace? Are you able to do that? Because really, you can write a million-seller book. You just need to tithe here. But for the rest of us, we need the Word of God to be giving us that peace because he speaks to us through those things. So I see that God is wanting us to bring more people into the knowledge of who he is. And God's not waiting for you to get your act together. He's already accomplished what he needed to do through Jesus. There's two things wrong with that statement. Well, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, when I get my act together. That's not a responsible position. My responsibility is to follow after what God tells me is going to bring me peace, what's going to be productive and life-giving in my life, because Jesus has already paid the price for me to have it. So the first thing I see is, you know, well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, get my act together. We shouldn't have to act to lead other people to Christ. And the second thing that's wrong is it's not up to me to get my act together. I have to know his word and be in conversation with him because that's where the peace comes in. That is my responsibility to him, is to stay focused and include him in my dialogues. Even if I'm the one who's talking to myself, I need to keep me included in that. He wants to come back. He's waiting, guys, not for us to get our act together. It's not just about you and me. He's waiting for the kingdom to be fulfilled. and for other people who are lost to come to him. It's mercy that he's waiting. And he's waiting, as we've studied before, he's waiting to shake up the world so we see that there is no other answer, to wake up Israel to the fact that the Messiah has come, and to make up the kingdom from all the lost people. He wants everyone to come to know him. But out of grace and mercy, he's given us a choice. So, when I say that he wants to come in and help us, he wants us to be responsible, that is a direction that he wants us to go in. We have two things that we always say. Is it a suggestion or is it a direction? So if I say to my kids, I want these toys cleaned up by the end of the day, is that a suggestion or a directive? It's a directive. And if I say, hey, here's the food on the table. I want you guys to eat something tonight. I want you to go ahead and eat your supper. Am I telling them what to eat or am I making a suggestion? The things in God's Word, guys, are not just suggestions. They're directives because they're going to keep us on a path that is going to be productive and lead us to a place where we don't have to war within ourselves in our own thoughts. So that's what he's saying. Stay focused. Stay focused on me. Now let's look at verse 16. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. So here's an unstable position. We're supposed to look forward, right, so we can be set free by Christ. But sometimes some people are looking to the Word not to set themselves free or to set others free to serve him, but to set themselves free to do whatever they want to do. They're just those people in the world. So I've learned something. I've learned that you're either looking for the reason to stay or you're looking for the reason to go. Can I get an amen on that? You're either looking for the reason to help or the reason you don't have to help. You're either looking for a reason to be responsible, and responsible means I'm accountable. I want somebody to, you can count on me. I'll be accountable for this. I'm going to be responsible with it. Or people are looking for the reason not to be accountable. Isn't the world just crazy? Like how messed up it is in the thinking on this? See, Tiger Woods was considered a horrible person when it came out about all these women he had been with and these mistresses he had and all that, and the world just chewed him up. And the only reason they did is because he was married. Because you see these other people that aren't married and they live that lifestyle and they show them on TV, oh, you know, this, you know, whatever it is, Bennifer or whoever it is, these couples, and they name them, and they're together. Why is it that Jennifer Lopez, wasn't she bad in all the people she's hooked up with? Why is that okay? Because we've glamorized certain things. And then other people, well, that's not okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the world is going to distort the Word to make it fit whatever they want it to fit. If you want to sin, I know people who use the Word so that they can be free from responsibility, so that they can do what they want to do and use the Scripture to do it. Do I need to clarify that, or does everybody in here understand what I'm saying? Okay? Because, you know, the Bible says as much as it's possible for me to be at peace with all men, I just can't be at peace with them. I need to get a divorce. See what I'm saying? If you want to find something, you will find it in the Word to justify. And he's saying we cannot distort the Word, but without understanding, people will distort it. So you and I have to know not just the Word, but the character of Jesus behind his words, because he was faithful to it. Anybody in here ever had somebody that you were disappointed by that they gave you their word on something and then they didn't follow through? We could probably all lift our hands, right? That's because our focus cannot be on this world. Our focus has to be on Him. And when you keep your eyes on Him, then when people fail you, you don't go down with them because you know that there's still hope, because He says that everything that's intended for evil, He can turn it for good. That's a promise. Does it mean I'm going to see it today? No, but it gives me peace to let go of that until I do see it. And I'm not saying I don't have to keep reminding myself. But what I'm saying is, Peter's coming in here and he's letting you know this is going to be unstable. You need to know not just the word, but who He is. Remember who He is, so that when people come in to change up the word, you've got the stability to know that's not who Jesus is. Jesus would never ask me to abandon someone just because I didn't like the way they looked. He would want me to love the same way that He loves me. The same time He loves me when I act horrible, I need to be patient with other people and have that same mercy and grace. Here's another thing that I think is funny. Why doesn't the world just say, we don't believe, so because we don't believe, we're just going to leave the Bible out of it? I mean, I wish they'd just leave it out of it. But instead, they try to find things to make it with the Bible to justify the way they are. Well, you Christians are a bunch of haters. You're not supposed to hate. You're not supposed to judge. What are they doing? Hating and judging. And surely we're not. But guys, we cannot use hatred to justify hatred. Nothing justifies hatred. Here's another one that kind of wigs me out. Global warming, okay? Whether you believe in it or not, just follow me with this train of thought. There's global warming and all these alarms. There's even this one, and y'all know I love the weather, but there's this one weather girl I can't even listen to because everything she says is political. And I'm like, you know, God's either God or He's not, okay? So if you believe in global warming and you don't believe the Bible and you believe in evolution, wouldn't global warming not be effective because we're just going to evolve into what we need to do to catch up with it? I mean, that's what evolution is. Your environment has caused you to evolve into something different. And if global warming was real, then why do they say the Ice Age, all the dinosaurs and everything died when everything melted? Why couldn't you have global warming then that just was because it was an act of God? There weren't any buildings in. I'm not here for or against it. I'm saying if you want to believe one way, believe it and believe the whole way, but don't try to make something spiritual out of it. Are you with me on that? So the world is mixed up and they've twisted things. And I'm not saying we're not responsible for pollution and a lot of things, but I'm here to tell you, I believe God is greater than pollution. If He's greater than disease, He's greater than pollution. And I believe a wind can come through here and blow stuff out. And I believe that a rain can come and settle stuff down. God does not need us to figure out His business. But when people try to come in and make things spiritual to you to make you feel guilty or responsible, that's an unstable position of belief. Clear? We're going to move to the third position. And the third position that I see here is, it's a grounded position. Let's look at verse 17 through 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, what do I already know? That when I'm bound for heaven, I need to keep a view of Him, that not just is there going to be persecution that He talked about in 1 Peter and was warning them about, but there's also going to be a perversion of the word. It's going to come. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure positions. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. a lot of the teaching in Peter, especially verse 15 and 16 that we're reading here, is based on 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 5:11. What is this telling me? That Peter and Paul and James and even Jude, a lot of that's going to come into play in this. All these guys knew each other. They had read these letters. They're reinforcing the same word, okay? Because they want us to be grounded and to be grounded without excuse. Well, you know, you said that, you know, we didn't have to, it wasn't about us, it was about Jesus, so I don't need to worry about that. I don't need to worry about my salvation. What I'm telling you tonight is we can get off track and fall into things that steal our peace, that steal our joy, because of choices we make that are contrary to what he's saying for us to make. So we need to take a responsible position with the word. And when you're responsible, he's saying, also be grounded. Be grounded in grace and in knowledge. Now, everybody got a candy razzle? Did y'all get a razzle? Okay. That little razzle has these two scriptures on it, right? And it says grace and understanding. Razzle is a candy, but it's also a gum. And once you put it in your mouth and the warmth comes on it, it can conform to the shape of your teeth. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you got gum in your mouth, not just candy. It was like the 2-for-1 candy, right? Remember Razzles? Well, I found some. So I thought this was a good illustration for us on grace and understanding. Because grace is something that he has given us. Mercy withholds what we deserve, and grace gives us what we don't. So if I don't deserve it and I can't buy it, I need to understand that that is something precious. I want to be responsible with that grace. I don't want to use grace as the reason that I'm going to sin. And when we talked about the world, there are people, and you and I know them, who use the word because they're not in relationship with Jesus Christ, but they use the word to condone and to do what they do, so you'll get in agreement with them, because I think that's where the phrase misery loves company comes from. Okay? And if I'm honest, aren't there places where all of us have used a scripture to justify something we wanted to do? You know? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, delight yourselves in fatness. Oh, I'm just going to enjoy that buffet. I paid for it, right? And then I could go to let your moderation be known unto all men at all things. Well, you know, that doesn't apply to all-you-can-eat buffets, because I need to be a good steward. Are you with me? There are times where we can use, and he's coming in here and he's saying, I want you to be grounded, not just with grace, but understanding. Grace is given to us so I can give it away. Grace is not the reason I'm going to judge somebody because I've been set free. I'm not looking for grace to be the reason I put somebody else in bondage. Are you with me? I'm not telling them that they have to do certain things to be saved, but there is a responsibility with grace to keep my peace. I've got to stay focused on him. And guys, I've got a good report for you tonight. When Jesus died, he knew he was doing something that I couldn't do, and that is to stay focused. Why do you think that he said to the disciples before they ever started to pray with him, hey, watch out lest you be tempted to fall asleep? Because he was making provision for our flesh weaknesses. And he's still making provision for it. And the provision is with knowledge. It's all about following Jesus and receiving his redemption. So it turns it from me to him. It turns it from my failure to his victory. And it gives me hope that today I get a clean slate and I can start over without accusation and guilt from the enemy. Because I get to start over with a clean slate, does that mean that I never have to go to anybody and apologize? I can be as ugly as I want one day, because the next day I'm going to get a clean slate. Does that make sense to you? No, because there's a responsibility with it. Let's just say that you have a job, and certainly God is better than any employer. Amen? Right? But you have an employer. I got really tickled one day. We were talking about Ashley Garrett, and she was late for one of our meetings for the women's ministry. And she said, oh, I just had these women, and they wouldn't come to work, and they just find these excuses. And she said, this girl told me, she said, well, my car broke down. And I said, don't you have any friends or neighbors who would bring you to work? And she said, well, no. And she said, well, next time call a taxi. And the girl was just like, oh, I can't believe you're asking me to do that. But you see, we don't want to be responsible. We want the paycheck, but we want to be, we don't feel we need to be responsible at all times. People should just understand. So let me ask you this. If somebody called you from, you know, the publisher's clearinghouse, and they said, hey, we've got this money. We can't find where you are. It's $5,000. You didn't win the big one, but you won $5,000. Here's what you have to do. You can call this number and verify it through the government, but you need to get here tomorrow. If your car's broke down, is that going to stop you from getting that $5,000? No. And so it comes back to a desire, what we desire. But we have glamorized the things of earth. Man, I'm going to work for that thing. But when it comes to reaching out and sharing the gospel, we're worried and we're like, oh, well, you know, what if I don't do it right because I'm a failure? You need to be encouraged that because you're a failure and you know his mercy and grace, you now have a powerful testimony that validates who he is. But the enemy, who's the accuser, wants you to quit and not press forward in the things of God. So he comes in and reminds you of your failures. And Peter is saying, don't get caught up in this stuff. Keep your foot. We got to keep looking forward. That doesn't mean that if I fail, if I cheat and lie, that doesn't mean that I don't want to make that right. It means that because of what he's done for me, I want to have not just his name on me, but I want his character. Because I can be at peace after that, and I never have to keep looking back and wondering what's coming. When do you look back? In life, you're driving down the street. When do you need to look backwards? To see who's behind you? To back up? All those things are not looking forward to where you're going. Are you with me? He's telling us that if we get caught up in the things of earth, we're not going to be looking for God's view. So we need grace, and with grace, we need understanding. Well, boy, here he comes in. Why are you telling me this, Gay? Why are you talking about, you know, candy and gum, and it starts as one thing and it becomes another? Because I want you to know grace is alive and living. And it's Jesus. And so whatever I receive it as, if I receive it as salvation, it becomes life. It's not a document. It's not a ticket. It becomes life because he inhabits me. The Holy Spirit is in me. It's alive and it's active. And I'm not looking to heaven because I just need a way out of my mess. I'm looking to heaven because I live in this earth and it is a mess. Well, you know, Gay, there's all chapters that we don't want read out loud in our life. That's true. And I've even heard the little saying, but my book isn't finished. Doesn't matter about this chapter, my book isn't finished. I want to tell you tonight, your book is finished if you've accepted Jesus Christ. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it is finished. Everything that you and I are going to need is going to be provided for us because of what he has done for us, and the book is finished. I can tell you today that tomorrow I'm going to have trouble because this word told me that's going to happen. I can tell you today that I'm going to need to seek after him and pursue peace because this word tells me I'm going to need that. I can tell you today that because I live in this world, I'm going to be tempted because this book tells me repeatedly there's a way out of temptation. But I can tell you this. I know that the book is finished, and I know that every provision for my weakness is going to be made because of this book. And I'm either going to let the enemy put that weight on me and tell me, well, because he's done this, you should raise your standard. You bet I better, and I better raise my standard in the fact that I believe that my story is finished. I believe that once my name is written down, that he's looking out to take care of me. You want to talk about the reason to leave or the reason to stay? Do you know in Hebrews it tells us that there's another book, and that book is recording the things that you've done that are good. There's a good account going for you. He's not keeping track of your failures. That's the enemy. But if I don't have the understanding that grace is alive and working in me, so if 5 minutes from now I blow everything I just told you, I still know that I have grace available to me to cry out to him and that he will forgive me and establish and restore that relationship, not that he left it, but that I did. You're very quiet tonight. Is it sobering or are you all asleep? Because here's what I want you to see. When we look at this word, what are we waiting for to look forward and to look heavenward? What are we waiting for? Am I waiting for an approval rating from earth? You're not going to get it. Am I afraid that I'm going to have to read my chapter, my life out loud, and I'm going to be ashamed? No, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Jesus. Everything you do that's a failure is no longer about your failing. It is glory to him because he has forgiven me from that failure. Every time I'm tempted, whether I get it right or I get it wrong, I have confidence in him that he is not looking for the reason to reject me, but he's looking for the reason that I will give him to walk back in and say, Dad, help me. God, help me. I'm really struggling. I don't want to forgive. To become honest so he can get in that place and heal it and cause something life-giving to come from me. I want to be in agreement with him so that my life produces fruit. And this is what Peter's telling them. You're going to have the opportunities to fail because he did. But he's telling you, stay focused on him because he is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And I know because I lived it. Hollywood is glamorized, and they want to shame us, but they don't want to admit that anything's wrong, and we don't think that anything's wrong because they seem to have all the answers because they have all the money and they get all the attention, and everything goes right for them. So let's play a little game tonight, and I'm going to ask you, who said this? And you're going to tell me, okay? Life is like a box of chocolates. Oh, say it loud. Okay. Who said, make my day? Yeah, Clint Eastwood. Yeah. Who said, I'll be back? And he plagiarized that from Jesus Christ. Because that's who said it first. I'll be back. So now let me ask you a couple of questions since we're just playing this game of who said. Who said, I've called you by name and you're mine? Yeah. Who said, I've loved you with an everlasting love? Who said, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper? God said that. And you need to realize Hollywood is false, but he's real. And I'm asking you this because I think we recount more what we pay more attention to. All those lines are famous. No shame on you. But do I know the Word of God as quickly as I can recall that? Because that's where my line of defense is. Because all that's happening, guys, in movies and in life with people who don't want to serve God is they are trying to get you to lower their standard, your standard, to condone their way of living, because in every man's heart, there is a conscience. And the conscience is not there to condemn. The conscience is there to keep you from hurting yourself and doing things that are going to lead you down a wrong path. It's a blessing to have a conscience. Well, you don't know, man, I just feel so bad about something. The reason we feel bad about something is because it's a Holy Spirit indicator that you are no longer sowing the seeds of peace, you're no longer sowing the seeds of life, but you've stepped off into something else. Grace is going to bring us back to truth. And he's saying, bring it with understanding. You know what? I understand that he's made provision for disease. God does not send disease. Well, you know, if God was good, how come these people are dying of cancer? Let me tell you something. You're going to die. How we die, I don't know. But we're all going to die. But I know this. He's made provision over disease through the blood of Jesus. That doesn't make that person a sinner who dies from a disease. And that doesn't make that person a saint who doesn't. Jesus is what makes the difference. But when we let people come in and have accusing tones against our Savior over, well, you know, if this happened, how come all these bad things happen in the world? They don't happen because of him. They happen because of evil. And he wants to make the standard raise up against evil, not because I'm better, but because I understand that it's grace and mercy that kept me from walking that path. So it's good news. The good news is what he's done. You know, Steve's always using the scriptures, and it comes to this word, you know, grace with understanding, and I want to be responsible. And when he talks about the good news, the gospel, when he talks about repentance, you've been hearing this taught, that it's to change your mind. Change your mind, what? To believe in Jesus. Change your mind to believe that there's somebody who's going to help you overcome your weakness. Change your mind, repent. That means realize that, you know what, sin is not the best way. His way is the best. That he's goodness, he's mercy. I'm never going to have enough mercy for somebody who's committed murder that it's going to make a difference in their life. But he can. That's why I'm not leading people to me. I should be leading people to him. And that's what the kingdom is all about. And if all I'm concerned about is what I'm getting here and what happens to me here, I'm going to be sorrowful, I'm going to be sad, and I'm going to be remorseful. But if I say, these things are going to count for the cross of Jesus Christ, these things are going to speak a testimony of life, and I may have blown it, but I want you to know, I'm going to speak life into Sylvia, and I'm going to tell her where I blew it, and I'm going to believe God to help her overcome and save her from some of that heartache. I want somebody to get the good news quicker. I don't want them to have to go through these things, because we're going to go through things. But if I stay focused on him, I've always got hope. If I stay focused on me or who did me wrong or who did me right, I'm never going to have hope because I'll become dependent on those things. I want to ask you a question tonight. What am I waiting for? Where am I looking? According to Peter, where should we be looking? For heaven. I should be looking for my home. Today, I'm sure that I didn't do everything right. I'm sure of it. But today, I know that he was preparing a place for me in heaven. And I didn't have to pay for that. And he didn't ask me to send a deposit up for more supplies. He said, I'm your supplier. Just don't you be my denier. You with me? And I want you to know that I believe, because we have this powerful tool called prayer, that a lot of times the things that we're worried about, I can talk to him just like I can talk to any counselor I got to pay $150 an hour to. And I want to tell you something, guys. In his word, he will lead me to something that will bring me peace. Or I can pray and I don't even have to hear a thing. I don't have to read a thing. But I can tell you this. When I get up from there, I got a peace that says to me, I still don't have an answer. I still don't know how this is going to play out. But here's what I do know, according to his word. It is going to bring him glory because he's good news. It's going to bring him glory because there are people who need to know that God is more for us than just somebody to fill your bank account. God is more for us than somebody who's going to give me a ticket on a train ride. I want to tell you something. He's finished my book. My chapters I don't have to worry about because the book has been closed on my life and I've got victory. And I'm going to walk in victory, and I want you to walk in that victory with me tonight. I've written for you on your notes tonight. Here's a prayer from Chuck Smith in 1985. And I just thought it was so good and so timely. If you have your notes, would you read this with me? Just read it together with me. May the Lord bless you and cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May you increase your understanding and knowledge of him. May you be freed from that power of darkness, the corruption that is in the world through lust. And may you grow up in him in all things and strengthened. And may you increase day by day in his richness, in his love, in his grace, in his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I got a new phone. I don't like it. Because it does things that I don't know what it does. And I don't want to take time to read it and figure it out. How honest is that? But unless I take the time to read it, or Google it, or YouTube it, and get some kind of information, and then I take that information, and it's not just knowledge, but I experience it, and I put it into action, that's when I can have understanding and move ahead. It's the same way with God. Just because I love him and accept him is not osmosis that I'm going to understand the word, that I'm going to know. I can't tell you chapter and verse if you call out three words in the word to me. I can if I've had to apply it in my life. You know, where's that scripture about, you know, he didn't give us a spirit of fear? Man, I know that one. 2 Timothy 1:7, I know that one. How many of you can quote Jeremiah 29:11? Yeah, is because you went through something and that scripture meant something to you. And with the understanding of his word and his making a good plan ahead of you, that it's a plan for good and not for evil, it gave you hope while the enemy was barking in your ear and he shut up because you used the word against him, your first line of defense, and said, you know what, I'm going to believe this and not you. And tonight, I want you to apply that same grace with understanding that the reason we are in this world is because our light is greater than any darkness. And you know what? I don't like all these accusations, but I praise God that Hollywood's coming down. I praise God that all that glamorization of money and position is coming down because the veil's being torn off and people who aren't even Christians and don't claim to live a Christian life are saying, that is wicked. It's wrong. And yet that's the people we've been glamorizing and holding up on the pedestal. Thank God for it. And here's something beautiful. I can thank God that when my chapter's read out loud, it's going to bring him glory because that's not who I am anymore. Don't you need that kind of hope? I want you to stand with me tonight. I want us to receive hope tonight in our hearts that the grace that he has provided for us is a precious gift that is not just something I take like communion and I'm done and I'll come back next Sunday. But grace is something that is alive and active in my life right now to help me through a situation. Stand with me. whatever's going on in your life right now, I don't know, but he knew because his word made provision for it, that he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. His word is that no weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. Formed is a past tense word. The day you decide that you're going to make a decision to do something right, ask anybody who made a New Year's resolution, is the day that that thing's going to become larger than you. That's why I'm not looking at what I can do like a resolution. I'm looking for the King of Kings who gives me a God solution. And I want to pray for you tonight that whatever it is that you're struggling with, that you will let his unmerited, undeserved grace, that you will let the blood of Jesus Christ have the full value that it was intended to have. Because, my friend, yes, you are worth it. And that's not off a commercial. That's out of the Bible. So, Lord, tonight, I'm just praying for those people who are struggling, God. Lord, for those, God, who are looking to other people to bring them happiness. God, I just ask right now that as we repent, as we change our thinking about that and realize that it's not other people, but it's you, Lord, free me. Free me from the prison I've put myself in by making other people my joy. God, free me tonight from the prison of looking for the way out because my mind can think of one instead of trusting you to be my way. Lord, I'm asking tonight for people in this room, God, who are hurting and who have listened to the words of others justifying their hurt, God, as a reason to cling to anger or unforgiveness. I'm asking you tonight, God, to apply grace to us over our anger and our unforgiveness so that we can be set free, God, of that prison. Lord, tonight I just receive your mercy. God, I'm asking you to withhold from me what I deserve. I just receive your mercy. You need that tonight? I want you just to lift your hands and begin to ask God to just apply mercy over you right now. God, I need mercy. Withhold from me what I deserve. I understand. I've been listening to the enemy, and I get it. I know what I deserve. But you have mercy for me, God. You had mercy for Peter. You had mercy for King David. You had mercy, Lord, for Rahab the prostitute. You had mercy, God, for me. And I'm asking you tonight, God, to apply that mercy over those in this room who are seeking you, God, that the enemy's taunts will become null and void because your word won't return void, but his will be silenced in the name of Jesus. And Father, tonight I'm asking for those who need your grace. Lord, there's some things, God, that we just need, not because we deserve them, Lord, but because you promised them to us, God. Tonight, Lord, we need peace. I need you, Jesus, to stand up and say, peace be still over these thoughts, God, that are just bombarding minds right now, God. Peace be still. Thank you for that gift. I'm asking you tonight, Lord, to bring hope back. Not because I've done something to deserve it, but Jesus, you did. And I don't want to waste what you did. I receive the power to overcome the thought. God, I'm not looking for the reason not to be liable. I'm looking for the reason to be responsible. Because I want you to know, God, that I appreciate what you've done. And so, God, I want to understand all the benefits of grace. I want to understand, Lord, that there are traps set for me in this world and that your word is going to lead me and set me free. Just lift your hands to him right now and just say, God, relieve me of this burden and this torment. God, relieve me of this record that is playing over and over in my mind. Relieve me of this thought that is driving me and stealing my peace. Relieve me tonight, God, of this torment. I receive your mercy and I receive your grace. God, let each one receive it so that we can share the good news that there's hope that there's hope that an imperfect world, He is maturing me and helping me to grow wiser and to receive His love more. I thank You for that tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just want you to receive that word over your life. And I'm going to ask you to do this. Don't go to somebody else. Let's just be honest with ourselves, okay? Don't go to somebody else if you just want somebody to stroke you. You just want somebody to agree with you that it's okay to be mad. Because guess what? Any of us in here can feel sorry for you and agree with you that, oh man, you got it bad. But I want to tell you something. Everything that you go through that is painful, according to His word, is going to bring a blessing on you. Because He is faithful. And don't you think for one minute that He's not going to let you go through something when you're claiming His word and not remain faithful to you, because that would mean He's a liar, and He's not. And I want us to stop looking on this level for affirmation and on this level for somebody to make it right for us. I want us to go to the King of Kings, because I'm telling you, there's a peace, there is a joy, and there is a new level of walking in the Spirit that God wants us to have. And I want it for you. And I want it for me. And together we're going to have it. Amen? All right. Well, God bless you. And enjoy your razzle. Just remember, it may look like one thing, but God can change it to something else. Because He's good. Amen? There's an evangelism training Saturday at 2. For those of you who want to come, it's free. For those who want just to have more confidence in how to witness to other people and make it simple, just as a lifestyle, if you want to come Saturday at 2 right here.